Good morning to you who are joining us today on this February the 11th. In three more days, I guess Valentine's Day is still on the 14th, isn't it, Brother Pinion?
Best I can tell, yeah.
Will be Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
and
well.
So you be sure to get your
Valentine.
Yeah. But anyhow, we're going to talk to you today, continuing our thought about made for something more. Mm-hmm. We're not just made to barely get through in life and not have anything to give to our Lord. The song says, "Must I go, and empty-handed must I meet my Redeemer?" So, not one thing with which to greet him.
Mm-hmm.
Must I empty-handed go? No, we must not go empty-handed. Last week, we talked about being a minister.
Amen.
Every one of us are ministers.
Amen.
That is, we minister to need. We minister for the glory of God. Today, we're going to talk about I am a priest. Amen. And that's going to be a little more challenging, but we're going to see how we come out on that. Let's tell the dear people who we are, Brother Pinion.
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Morgan Bridge Baptist Church in North Tuscaloosa County, and delighted to be here.
And Brother Bob.
I'm Brother Bob, little pastor at the Galilee Baptist Church, and help administrate there at New Fellowship in Tishby, and also does some work with the Pickens Baptist Association out at the federal prison. And glad to be here also again.
I'm glad both of you are here. And I'm Herschel Owen. I'm pastor of Emmanuel Baptist in Gordo, Alabama. And I'm glad to join you today, too. I know we're going to learn some things because we're talking about I'm a priest. And I never did consider myself to be a priest wearing one of those priestly robes.
Amen.
Do y'all wear a robe in your church, Bob?
Sometimes. But
well,
I wear a tie.
We do sometimes. Sometimes for weddings, I wear a robe. And as of yet, I've not got a crown.
I
don't deserve a crown.
Waiting on that.
Yeah, his wife's crown.
Yeah, and it was, who was it this morning? Tell us they got up and they had they got hit in the head.
Sure enough, that was Jack House.
Sure enough, they had a spot on their head there.
Big old scalp.
Man, so I believe his wife got a hold of him with it too before.
Somebody did.
Yes, sir.
But I'm a priest. Boy, that's hard for me to say because, first place, I don't think I ever deserve, and I know I don't on my own, to be called a priest. And then, but I'm going to see if I can gather enough information here to see if I really am a priest. Mm-hmm. I really am a priest. Let's have a word of prayer. Bob, lead us, would you?
Father, we just thank you for this time, this opportunity to be able to come to the listeners by radio airway. We pray that a word will come forth, prick their hearts and mind, and give them a zeal to want to do your will, God. And then, God, we ask that you can give us some illustration and illumination so we can move your people to the proper elevation that they may ask, what must I do to be saved? We thank you now for this time. We ask now that you give us wisdom and knowledge, and then bless those who are hearers. And we'll be so careful to give you praise and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
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 And we always are grateful to both of y'all. I am for coming and helping to do the lessons and talk to the dear people out there who are listening to us about the things of God and about what the Bible teaches. And I mentioned that to say that Brother Bob may have to leave somewhere in the midst of the lesson. So you will forgive him for doing that, for he's been faithful. He works for the post office in addition to about five or six other things that he does for the Lord. And so he is very, very busy. And I'm sure you being a busy people yourself understand that. So if he has to go in a little bit, why, you'll understand that. I am a priest.
Mm-hmm.
What do you understand a priest to be, Brother Pinion?
A priest is a go-between.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was when in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It was a system that God set up in motion that the priest was in communication with God, and the priest then communicated with the people. Amen. And as if God had said it, God had sent him to be the priest in that case to minister his word to them.
I remember that when I, after I was saved, I was grown, so certainly I didn't get to go through a lot of the programs that the church had, a lot of the training, and a lot of the things that I would have enjoyed had I been saved early enough. But I was a grown person already deep in some sins in my life, and God lifted me up out of a miry clay there and put my feet on a solid rock. But I began to work with the RA, the Royal Ambassadors, the young men in the church, and the verse that we had as a Royal Ambassador says, "Now then," this comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, mm-hmm. as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God."
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, I relate, being a priest, mm-hmm. I relate that to being what the ambassador was, a go-between,
mm-hmm.
between God and man. And I learned a long time ago, not that I did it always, but I learned that my position was to act for God with men and women and boys and girls,
mm-hmm.
and then to carry the needs and the burdens of men, women, boys, and girls to God.
Amen.
And that's what a priest was in my humble way of thinking about it. But anyhow, we know that we're not just made to get by in life, and maybe when life's over, we be thrown a little bone by the Lord, but rather we've been given special place as a minister and as a priest. Also, we're a child of the King.
Mm-hmm.
My folks were very poor people, and I came from a coal mining family. I told somebody the other way, Loretta Lynn made millions of dollars off her. I'm a coal miner's daughter. But I'm a coal miner's son.
Yeah.
And I never did have anything to mount anything from it. And but how could God take a coal miner's son born in Burnwell, Alabama? I'm sure none of you have ever gone to Burnwell on vacation, because I don't even think they've got a red light there unless they got one recently. It's a coal mine in town, and it's named Burnwell because they said the coal burned well.
My.
And so that's my fame. But how could God take me, and with all my sins that I've committed in the past, and I'm still not perfect.
Amen.
I still sin and fail God. But how could he take me and use me as a priest, a go-between him and the people? Sometimes it's just more than I can even imagine.
Amen.
But as servants of Christ, I am a representative of him. I think it's important that I realize that it's important that I represent him well.
Amen.
That I represent him well. When I was going to college, I did all kind of work. I was a mechanic. I did automobile mechanic. I drove a station wagon that had a rail in the back where you could slide a cot in on. We called it an ambulance. Had no oxygen, no medicine, no anything. Our motto was pick them up fast and get them to the hospital.
Okay.
And that's the only hope they had.
No.
But one of the things I decided, somebody said, you ought to be a salesman. Now, God knows I'm not a salesman.
Mm.
And in fact, if I were to come to you, I'd say, Bob, I'm selling Kirby vacuum cleaners. You wouldn't want to buy one of these things, would you? And you would say, no, you're right. I don't think I'll buy one of these. It's trying to put the sale on.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I did learn one thing, that if I was going to represent the Kirby Vacuum Cleaning Company, I couldn't go around with old ragged overalls.
Amen.
And old broken shoes. I had to try to look like a Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman.
Amen.
And so as a priest, then there's some requirements that we make up our mind. We are going to represent Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I represent Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I want to look the part. I want to talk the part. I want to be the part to represent Christ and for people to look at me. Now, I don't carry a sign around. Do you, Brother Penny, you carry a sign around? I'm a priest.
No, I don't carry a sign around. I built me one time, though, that I carried in the pulpit with me, and it had Amen on it.
Okay.
And when I was preaching, every time I wanted an Amen, I took my sign out, and I'd hold it up, and there'd be some of them respond. But I think some of them took it away from me. I don't know where it is now.
Well, if you had been on national television, I'm sure they would have taken it away from me.
Yeah.
Although I see on national television sign that says applause, and that means you better clap for me now.
Yeah.
And say Amen, I guess, is the same difference.
Mine got a little more response than I had been getting from it.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I may take that to heart and try that.
Mm.
And
hey, I tell you when it did, it sort of lightened up the crowd.
Oh, really?
It did. One would get us a shirt made, all three of us preachers, and put on the front, "I'm a priest.
No.
Applaud me."
No, that ain't gonna work.
Why wouldn't that be a good idea about that applauding part, Bob?
Because it's not about us.
No.
This is not about us. It's about Jesus and God, what Jesus has done, and how God, John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's about what God, compassionate enough for a sinful world, to take the very best he had, was his only son, to send for sinners like ourselves, that we may have everlasting life. And so it's not that we walk around with a sign saying that I'm a priest and everything of that nature. But what we need to do is live a life and be a go-between for humanity and divinity, God and man, so that God can remember that we represent his people and that his people can remember that we represent their God.
Amen. That's good. That's some great thinking there.
Good explanation.
Yeah. It sure is. Yeah. Well, then we are a priest. We're made for something. We're made to be priests.
Mm-hmm.
He expects us to be priests. He expects us to go before him and to do his work. And as Bob said, represent him to the people and then represent the people to him.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Pinion, let's start out with that first set of scripture there.
All right, it's found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, so the first thing that I gathered from this this thing of being a priest and 1 Peter 2, actually verses 4 through 10, is that we're taught some truths about our priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 4 and verse 5 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that living stone, Bob?
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Why is he called a living stone? You ever had a... When I was a kid, I'd hunt little round flint rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get the prettiest colored one and the prettiest shaped one of all. And that became my collection. I mm-hmm. couldn't collect coins and I couldn't collect other mm-hmm. things, knives. I couldn't do that. Could collect flint rocks. But I never did find a living stone. Tell me about how a stone can be alive.
It got to have life. It got to have life. And so Christ is alive and well. So he is a living, and he is the chief cornerstone.
And what is that now, Bob?
That is the guiding stone of which the building, which is going to talk about, we're going to build a spiritual house. And you got to take the chief cornerstone and line up all the rest of the building that is going to be built off of the chief cornerstone.
Around it.
Around it. Because the chief cornerstone is going to be the foundation, the guide, the basis, the direction in which all other parts of that building is going to be structured on.
Yeah. Well, so it doesn't say Billy Graham was the...
No.
But he was a good preacher.
Well, the thing, yeah, but Billy Graham didn't die for your sins.
That's right.
Amen. See, and that's what mess up a lot of people. They'll try to pull other characters and other folks and say how great ministers or how great a theologian they were, but they were not the one who died for our sins.
So we're not to go to Billy Graham then.
We're not to go to Billy Graham. And one of the great mistakes of a lot of religions is that they rely on humanity, a human being, to build their faith or belief or fellowship behind. And all of them are still in tune. But Christianity is the only one that has a leader that died for their sins, and not only died, but rose again. All the rest of the religion leaders are still in tune. But every year, millions of folk make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem to see an empty tomb.
Mm-hmm. And what day do we celebrate the empty tomb?
It's Easter. Amen. And so that's why he's a living. He's still alive. And the Bible says he's making intercession on our behalf. And that's good news. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf. No other religious sect or any other following can make that assessment.
They can't match it.
Amen. So that's where we live, you know, a living stone, huh? We dealing with something still alive.
Right.
And still making intercession for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Not right now.
Amen.
What if I were to say to you, Brother Pinion, I am a priest, or I am a representative of Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be impressed too much?
Well, I wouldn't be impressed at all.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I would think that you'd probably a prevaricator.
Would you explain that in American
that's
English?
That's a lie.
And so
I'd look with some disdain you as an individual, and especially on the message that you just delivered to us, that you were, you know, some relationship.
But suppose I was.
Mm-hmm.
What good is that going to do you?
If you were a person who represented Abraham Lincoln, it would not do any good for my sins at all. Because Abraham Lincoln was a sinner himself.
Amen.
I believe he was shot too.
Amen.
Somebody
and he
might be looking for you. To
and he's still and he's still in tune.
Yeah.
He's still dead.
Right.
So, the one that we need to be, telling folks about is the one that did die, and rose again, and has all power in his hand. The one that people said it may phase off, but for 2,000 years, people has been still proclaiming and mentioning his name, and salvation has come through his name. That's who we need to be telling folks about.
Amen.
And we've already dealt with this a little bit. By the way, we got Brother Lyle Deese just joined us. He's our...
Good to be with you. Sorry, I had a couple other commitments this morning.
Director of missions here, so he's helping us. And I mentioned Bob's going to have to go in a little bit, and Brother Lyle just moved right in to help us with it anyhow.
Well, I don't think I can help you out as well as Brother Bob's been doing this morning.
Well, I think all of us have got a little bit we can contribute.
Well, we bring a different angle.
Amen.
That's right.
Mine might be a square.
Okay.
All right. Well, I've always been a square, so I guess that's all right. But we're talking about truths about our priesthood. We're priests. We're priests of one who the Bible said was a living stone. Mm-hmm. I have never seen, other than Jesus, a living stone. I told him before he came in, Brother Lyle, I used to collect flint rocks. Because where I live in Walker County, there were plenty of flint rocks. Mm-hmm. I never did find acres of gold or anything like that, or acres of diamonds. But we did find flint rocks. Mm-hmm. But I never saw a living one. If I laid it upon the mantle at night, it was there in the morning. And if I got my toe stumped and needed somebody to wrap it up with a cloth, it couldn't help me. Mm-hmm. It couldn't do anything for me. But there is a living stone, and we are priests of him, and that is Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus. What does it mean? What do you think, Brother Lyle, it means about this living stone was disallowed indeed of men?
Well, if it goes back to sort of, if I'm thinking correctly, I remember John chapter 1 when it says that he came among his own and his own did not accept him, or they rejected him. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the idea I think we're talking about here, is that generally as Jesus began his ministry and as he began to teach, that folks were just not happy with what he was teaching. They didn't believe that he was who he said he was, and being the one who came to save them, the one who came to redeem them. And so he was disallowed, just not accepted.
That was by the religious elite of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all they had known.
Right.
Was the Ten Commandments.
And the system that they...
And when Jesus Christ came... He wasn't circumventing the Ten Commandments, but rather he was adding two.
He came to fill them full.
To fulfill the Ten Commandments, yes.
Well, so men rejected him. Now, I've been a builder in my life. I built my own house, in fact. But there has to be some corners. There has to be some guides. At church, we've been very careful. At our church, we have a cornerstone, but we don't have anybody's name written on it, except it says, "To God be the glory." Mm-hmm. And that's been the cornerstone is, as I guess it was Bob said a while ago, is the guide for the building, the guide that says, this is the direction this wall's going to go, this wall's going to go, and this is the plumb of the building. Mm-hmm. And so it is at our church. We don't have a man that we go back to, but rather to God be the glory. And really, if you think about what we're priests to, and we are priests, it is that living stone that others threw it away. I remember reading one time, and I don't remember where it was found, but it was out west somewhere, where a little old footbridge that crossed a little old creek, and there was a rock that just kept getting in everybody's way. It stomped their feet on it, and they'd push it off to the side. They'd get work back up there. And one day, somebody was passing, and they saw it was a shiny kind of glitter to it. And they didn't have to make a long story short. It was the largest piece of gold that was ever found. And all along, they'd been kicking it about, trying to get rid of it, get it out of the way. So it has been with Jesus. So it has been with Jesus. As you said, the elite, those who ought to have had the right answers, those who ought to have known him, had kicked him around, and finally they crucified him. On a cruel cross, they crucified him. But he is the living stone. And we are priests of his. We are representatives. We're go-between him and lost sinners, lost men. The world threw him away, but God chose him, according to verse 4, but chosen of God and precious. So, you know, it would be good if I just represented some famous person. I told you about representing the Kirby Vacuum Cleaner Company, and that turned out not to be such a such a prosperous career for me. But I had to dress the part and act the part. But since I've been representing Jesus, mm-hmm. and I have been his go between humanity, and then the lady came to me on Sunday just before we had our choir, just crying, said, "Could I talk to you?" And so I did. I went back to talk with her, and she was just broken for several reasons. One is some of her family had just totally misunderstood her and broke her heart. Her blood sugar was 500 at that point.
Wow.
You know, she was physically and emotionally. She was really hurt.
Wow.
But I thought to myself as I knelt and prayed with her and prayed for her, this, if I were some great surgeon and I could take my hand and the skill that God gave me and go into some little child's brain and fix things that had caused seizures or blindness or something, it wouldn't be near as much as me getting on my knees with this dear precious lady and carrying her to the Lord.
Amen.
And representing Jesus
Amen.
To her.
Amen.
And so that's the thing that we need to understand as priests. Number one, the truth about priesthood. We're believers, as believers, are priests. And Jesus is the living stone.
Mm-hmm.
He's the foundation of all Christianity. He's the foundation of all things that are true and are of Christ. And we Christians are living because God has placed his spiritual life within that. It says, you also, as lively stones. So, mm-hmm. Bob, does that tell you that something has happened to you and you've been made alive?
Amen. Through Jesus Christ, we all have now become, as the go-between, we are now living stones. In other words, through our lives and through what Christ done, we are building blocks for what is going to transpire after that, a spiritual house. We are those building blocks. And through being those building blocks, that means that you have to do your part in helping advance the ministry and the kingdom so it can be built the way God would have it built. Mm-hmm. We can't go on our own. We can't go doing things that we feel right or using our own ideology. We have to go by the strict plans of the one who has laid the foundation and then become a part of that living. And once we become a part of that, that makes us alive. And we need to do our part as those components, those stones that in the part process of that building of that spiritual house.
Intercession.
Amen. All that.
Intercession.
Amen. Amen.
Interceding with God. For those individuals
right.
or those needs,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, here on Tuesday morning,
yeah.
when we gather here, names and needs
Amen.
Are mentioned mm-hmm. over and over by individuals in their churches,
building blocks
who
yeah.
have
mm-hmm.
problems, mm-hmm. and they want us to pray for them,
Amen.
And
Amen.
We want them to pray for us.
Amen.
So we need to become intercessors
mm-hmm.
for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And needs that exist in our lives always.
Amen. Amen.
But now, guys, I remember before I became a Christian, of course, I'm not like, I wasn't as fortunate as some maybe of you are, and were reared up in the church, but I was reared up in a very sinful world and was very blessed to become a Christian. But I thought I was alive then. Bob, are you telling me I wasn't alive? Before I got saved?
You was spiritually dead.
Oh.
Spiritually dead.
You was alive to the world.
But spiritually you was dead. And see, that's what mess up a lot of people. They say, well, I can feel, I can do all these things, I'm alive. But spiritually, they are dead because they are living a sinful life. And they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So they are spiritually dead. And if they don't turn away from it, then they'll be eternally dead.
Well, we're coming to the very part I wanted to, Brother Pinion. I'm going to ask you, we've been made alive. How did that take place? And what happened differently with us than the man or woman that's listening to us and saying, I don't exactly understand what those preachers are talking about being made alive. And what difference does that do, and what is it doing for us?
Well, the difference is made when we recognize and realize that we're lost, and that we have sinned, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. And that because we have done that, we are sinners, and because we have sinned, then we need to then have an audience with God. The only way we can have an audience with God is through repentance of those sins and acceptance of the Son of God as our own personal Savior and Lord. And if and when we do that, then God is faithful and just to forgive our sins.
Amen.
And to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
But now, Brother Pinion, I hear some dear grandmother saying in the background there that's listening to it, preachers, I never committed murder. I never did rob a bank.
Mm-hmm.
I never did any of those kind of things. Why are you calling me a sinner?
Well, I'm not calling them a sinner. The Word of God is.
Amen.
And this is not of me. And I'm not. I dare not, because I too am a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us sitting here at the table are sinners.
How many sins does it take to make you be a sinner?
One.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess.
And, I told y'all last week, I think it was, about that pack of
chewing gum. Yeah.
That made me a sinner, but it also got me a whooping.
Yes.
and that one sin, that one violation of the grace and mercy and love of God made me a sinner.
Amen.
And had I not repented of that sin or those sins, then I will pay for that in eternity out of separation from God. And what the Bible chooses to say to us and show to us and reveal to us as a living hell.
Mm. Well, what does that dear grandmother who says, I've raised my children, my grandchildren, and I've worked hard all my life, and I never did join the church because I never did figure I needed that. I never did read my Bible because I know right from wrong. What does she need to do, or any person, maybe that guy that's addicted to drugs listening to it, what do they need to do so that their sins are forgiven?
Well, both of them need to recognize that they can't go back in their past and extricate anything there that is a violation of the love and law of God. Mm-hmm. And that Jesus Christ came as God's sacrifice for our sins, and we need to trust Him as our Savior and as our Redeemer. He buys us back out of and away from the slave market of sin. It doesn't mean we're going to become perfect, but it means that we are cleansed through His love and by His grace and the sacrifice on the cross at Calvary for us.
Brother Lyle, but that's 2,000 years ago.
Well, really, the problem started long before that.
Mm-hmm.
As we know from the very beginning of the Bible, we notice that Adam and Eve sinned. Mm-hmm. And that sin is what is really condemned or caused the problem that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really why Jesus came. He came to deal with that problem. Because ever since Adam and Eve, every generation since then has had that same sinful nature, that want or that desire to sin and then to do wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that is very hard. I was in a church on Sunday, and Brother Jack House made mention that of someone's beautiful great-grandchild and said, that great-grandchild is sinful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we really are flawed as humans when we compare ourselves to one another. Because we say, well, that's a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But good is not really how we should see people.
Amen.
We should see them, first of all, do they know Jesus?
Amen.
Right.
And that is where we understand what good and bad is.
Right.
Not comparing ourselves to whether it's Brother Bob or to you, Brother Herschel, or to you, Brother Brandon. We need to compare ourselves to God. And if we compare ourselves to God, then we see that, no, we are individuals who have a sinful nature. We are individuals who have sinned. Now, the great news is what we're sharing with you today.
Amen.
Is that if you accept Jesus and what he did for us by dying on the cross and resurrecting from the dead, then this new nature, this what Jesus shared with Nicodemus, this being born again.
Amen.
Being born from above, is what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is no condemnation for those of us who accept Jesus.
Amen.
Not that we're any better, but it is what Jesus has done for us and through us.
Brother Lana, you really are talking about good, nice folks now. Not them folks that's listening to us, and they have a terrible addiction to drugs. And last Saturday, they lived a terrible lifestyle on Saturday nights. And is this same message for them?
Oh, yes, sir. That's the great thing. That's why it's good news. Because it's good news for those who think they're good, but it's also good news for those who think they're the most evil person.
Amen.
Because whether good or whether evil, that good news can change their lives and transform them into a different individual. Now, does that mean they still won't struggle with their addiction? Some have been healed immediately, but we know that many won't be.
Right.
And there will be that process because there is a consequence for the life that we've chosen to live. And I've seen that in whether it's in my father's life or whether it's in the life of friends or whether it's in the life of other people that I've known. Some, like I said, have been miraculously healed of that addiction immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But many have to go through a process. But that's the good thing, is that Jesus is walking with you as you go through that process of recovering from your addiction. But it's like Brother Brandon said, you do have to admit it first.
Right.
Just
Amen.
As you did with an addiction.
Amen.
You have to admit that you are one who is sinful and has sinned against God.
Amen. And that's a good point. Know that we are sinful and have sinned against God. Because
right.
a lot of people who are sinful or have addiction always want to be judging their addiction compared to somebody else's.
And blame it on
somebody else. Right, there you go. So they have to be able to know that they are the standard is of God and not of man.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I like what Brother Lyle said a minute ago. No matter how good we think we are, and there are people who said, I've had people tell me, well, preacher, I never have really sinned. I said, well, yeah, you really have.
You just did.
Because you just called God a liar.
Right.
You just lied.
Just did.
Amen.
Isn't that what 1 John says? You don't call God a liar if you say you had never sinned.
Yeah.
But that's what the book says. If we say we had him, we do call him a liar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was sitting with a group of guys one time at a table, and a guy came in and he was stranger to all of us except maybe one there. He began to tell dirty jokes, use dirty language. And one of the guys said, you know that guy pointed to me as a preacher. It was like a switch turned on. He said, well, preacher, I want to tell you, it was just this last month I got a pen for 21 years of perfect attendance. And I thought to myself,
what did you learn when you what did you learn while you were there?
So the thing of it is, this guy was putting his hope in perfect attendance.
Yeah,
you can do that all you want to, and you can read the Bible until you become a scholar of it and a perfectionist in your knowledge of it. But what does it do to you?
Mm-hmm.
What does it do to you?
Yeah.
Has it changed you?
Amen.
Well, we better move along. What about Brother Pinion? Read that next scripture.
Truth about the cornerstone in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, it says, therefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner,
mm-hmm.
and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, mm-hmm. whereunto also they were appointed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to learn something, I think, a little different. We've talked about this cornerstone, mm-hmm. and you know, and if we know anything much about building, you got to have some place to start, mm-hmm. and some point in time to start your building, start your walls, and to get your walls squared, and to get your walls straight, and to get your walls plumbed. But this seems a little bit different to me than just talking about building a building. Now, we're sitting in a building at the Pickens Baptist Association building, and the walls are straight and they hadn't fallen down. We had plaster here. He's going to be with the Lord in recent days, but he was talking about at his church up at Fayette, Alabama, that they had a wall that was about to fall. Mm-hmm. It was all crooked and about to fall. Well, something got wrong in coming off of the cornerstone there. But now, I don't think the Lord is wanting us to go out and take a square and a level and measure these walls on this brick building. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's using a kind of a parable, which is mm-hmm. a earthly saying with mm-hmm. a heavenly mm-hmm. meaning.
Metaphor.
Yes, to tell about it. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? What is the cornerstone, and what are we to build around that cornerstone, Brother Bob?
Well, Jesus is the cornerstone, and we are to build our relationship.
Well, explain how we do that.
By studying, it's said in the Scripture. That has been revealed to us in the Word. That's why it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that's not a built frame that can rightly divide the Word of truth. So once we get into the Scripture and start studying, then we'll understand that Jesus is that chief cornerstone. And our building is about our relationship with Him and our faith in Him and what He has done for us on the cross.
So we're not talking about a rock here. Like, mm-hmm. we've already said it's a living stone. Mm-hmm. So this is different. It's not talking about building a brick building or building a wood frame building or one that has siding on the side of it. But it's talking about a life. Is that what you're saying?
Building your life. Yeah, your life. And when you build your life, you got to have the right relationship in your life, so that you can be able to do the thing that God has designed or laid out in Scripture for you to do.
Well, is there a starting place for doing that? I know when I used to build, we had to have a starting place.
Well, it says it lies in Zion. In other words, at that time, Jerusalem. But I'm thinking they're dealing with the heaven Zion. The foundation that he's talking about is already laid in glory, laid in heaven. And from that perspective, we read the Scriptures and understand how we are to line our lives up with this stone, which is the chief cornerstone, from what he has already said and done for us through the Scripture.
Well, Brother Pinkin, I'm a little bit afraid of you going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to remind us that some years back, We got involved with an individual in the western part of mm-hmm. Carrollton here, and there's a certain person sitting at this table.
Stop up your ears.
No, this is the truth. Certain person sitting at this table was given the responsibility of building the man a feed house.
My.
And
keep his horses feed in.
Look, you didn't have a cornerstone then. And every way you looked at it, it was leaning toward Aunt Nancy's.
Now, that is what they accused me
of. Oh, you confessed of it. He confessed. It's good.
Not no accusation. Just a pure and simple fact.
I hope that building's still out there. We're going to go out there.
No, that building's not there. I look at it often. I look for it often.
Did it fall over on its own?
I don't know whether it did or not.
It didn't hurt Aunt Nancy, did it?
It was leaning. Didn't have a chief cornerstone.
I got you. Amen. Amen.
There's so many of our people
right
out there, and this is the big point mm-hmm. that I really wanted to make. There's so many folks out there that do not have
Amen.
The foundation of the chief cornerstone.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And they're leaning too.
Amen.
But they're not leaning in the right direction.
Gotcha. Amen. Amen.
And they're wobbly. Their lives are wobbly. Their lives are weak.
Mm-hmm.
Their lives are worldly. Hey, I get y'all the message.
Yeah, you got it already. Yes, sir.
But if it's built on the teachings mm-hmm. and the declarations of Jesus and on the example of Jesus, the walls will be straight and the life will be lived.
Well,
not perfectly.
We're building a spiritual house. Yeah. We're not building mm-hmm. a real house.
Right, right, right.
Because God's already prepared the house
mm-hmm.
that we're going to be living in.
Mm-hmm.
But now what we're trying to do now and from this lesson is build a spiritual house that an individual is going to be safe in
mm-hmm.
from all the storms of life, whether it be sickness, disease, difficulties, disappointments,
Amen.
Death. I mean, you lump them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get folks to build a spiritual house where there is real safety.
Amen.
What about, Lyle, one thing that we have, and it's a good word, it's a Bible word, but it can convey the wrong meaning if we don't understand it. What does this word elect mean in that sixth verse? A chief cornerstone elect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead.
No, okay. No, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, let me trip up on that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, there you go.
No, you won't trip up.
No, but I think in this context, and that's what we're looking at, that's mm-hmm. the best way to try and understand Scripture. As we have him quoting here, it is contained in the Scripture, and he's quoting mm-hmm. passage, that the elect in this case is that Jesus was the elect one of his Father.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Was the chosen
Amen.
One
Amen.
To come at a particular time in history to live, to die, to resurrect. And then, of course, ascend and be at the right hand of his Father, as we read in Hebrews mm-hmm. chapter 1, after he did his work. So I think that is the case. Now, that can be expanded and is talked about by Paul mm-hmm. within his letters, but in this particular context, it just means
Absolutely.
That Jesus was chosen.
Absolutely so.
Amen.
And no question about it, there was no other way, there was no other plan. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
If there had been any other plan, God wouldn't have sent his only begotten Son.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So he was elected. Mm-hmm. And when God elects it, when God elects something, or when God says it, or when he selects it, then it is right. It is the best.
Well, even if you change the and what Brother Lyle said is exactly right,
mm-hmm.
but if you change it over, perhaps, and try to fit it to man,
mm-hmm.
that man is elected,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then I think you've done an injustice to the Word of God,
right.
and certainly an injustice to what God did for us in Christ,
mm-hmm.
as Brother Lyle mentioned a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't take away from the point that there is a remnant. There are
sure.
those who
sure.
are chosen, as we ourselves mm-hmm. have been chosen and
Amen.
Known ahead of time of our decision. But as Brother Brandon said, I am in agreement with him
mm-hmm.
on that idea. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And this one that is elect is precious. What does precious mean to you, Bob?
Oh, high standards. You can't put a value on it.
Is gold a precious metal?
Yeah, it's a precious mm-hmm. metal because it's expensive and things of that nature. It's costly. And so we know that we cannot put a value on the love and the sacrifice that Christ has. No greater love than this. You know, no, you can't put a cost on that one would lay down his life for a friend.
Isn't it interesting,
yeah.
though, as we read in the previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 4, and then we have it here in verse 6, and then also in verse 7, stated three times.
Right. Mm-hmm. Precious.
Jesus is precious.
Precious.
Right.
Amen. 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 And through that, we ought to represent him even greater.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to get part of this building and things. We ought to make sure that what we're doing reflects his preciousness. the value of our relationship with him, the value of what he did on the cross, the value of him being an intercessor for us on the right hand of the Father, the value of him coming back again to take us to live with him forever. You know, so he's precious. And the other part on that, it says that he that believeth in him shall not be confounded.
What so, about that, Bob? Yeah, help me with that.
You ain't going to be lost. You ain't going to be condemned. Because now you understand how precious he is. You've right. given your life to him. Mm-hmm. And now you're sealed in him no matter what comes at you or what...
Disease, difficulty, disappointments,
yeah.
death, whatever.
All that.
That's right.
So, that's right. Paul did all that in one passage and talked about the Corinthians where nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. so in that, from that perspective, life or death, nothing perilous, none of this, you know. So once you trust in Christ and give him your life, then you forever have the love of God and seal until that day. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I've been flying an airplane for long, many years, way over 50. And the only way you can get confounded or get lost is if you neglect some very important principles.
Right.
Some years and years ago, there was a doctor from down in Florida who was taking civilian flying lessons. And he got up to Huntsville, Alabama, and there's a lot of hills up in Huntsville. And it was foggy, and the clouds were low, and he got low, and he wouldn't talk to anybody. Mm. He wouldn't communicate. Somebody could have told him, hey, you are too low. There's some towers out there. But he would not, and he was confounded. He was totally lost. He was totally lost his position. Mm-hmm. Make a long story short, he flew into a mountain and killed himself.
Mm.
I have been lost in 50-something years of flying one time in my life. And it was my own stupid mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I used to fly, after I got out of the service, I used to fly to Eufaula, Alabama. It was like me driving from here to Reform.
Mm. Yep.
And so
right.
I didn't even care my maps and okay. my books that yeah. I needed, with even the frequencies that I could call somebody, because the place I was going had a radio beacon on it that sent out a signal every degree, all 360 degrees. No way you can get lost with that.
Hmm.
But it wasn't working.
Okay.
No, but it wasn't working.
Hmm.
So, thankfully to God, if you don't panic and you get your senses back and do what you're supposed to have done already, there's just airports all over the place where you can land at and find out where you are.
Hmm.
But the situation is, if in fact we let him be the chief cornerstone of our life and follow his leadership and follow his radio beacon and follow his transmitter, he's going to keep us in the right path and in the right way, and our lives will be a life of peace. And it's a funny feeling. It's a horrible feeling to not know where you are.
Amen. Amen.
And for lost people that are listening to us, you may not realize it, but it's a horrible position for you to be in and not know where you are.
It's truly hopeless.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And being hopeless is a terrible feeling.
Amen.
That hope.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to run out of time, and if I don't do something here, and Brother Pinion don't do something, so we're going to come on and look at the last section here.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, bye, and thank you for staying with us.
Amen. Love you. You behave, man.
All right,
in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we'll sum this thing up. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
I meant to say when we were on the truth about the cornerstone, Jesus is not only the cornerstone or the beacon or the radio transmitter that gives you that direction to go for salvation and for a Christian life to honor him. But to some, he's a stumbling stone.
Mm-hmm.
A stumbling stone.
Yeah.
People stumble over him to unbelievers. But we're special priests. What do you think, Brother Pinion, it means about being a chosen generation?
Peter was talking to, I think, and about the Jewish nation. And they were privileged, but they still had the option to receive or reject him, and they lost in the option because they rejected him.
That's true. Well, can we just cut that part out of our scripture since that's just talking about the people of the Old Testament? Or does it have a meaning also for us today, Brother Lyle?
Yes, sir, it does. As a matter of fact, we see that being put in practice all the time. As the New Testament, or as the disciples were sent out on their mission, we see how the not only Jews, but then also the Gentiles began to be incorporated, and that was the great fight that took place in Acts chapter 15, where they were talking about the new believers and what were their restrictions or what could they do and not do when they came to know Christ. And they asked him to keep three things, but please, for the rest of the Gentiles to come to know Christ. And that is that new generation, that chosen generation that we have become, not only because of the specialness of the Jews themselves as they were God's chosen people, but then that anyone now who comes to accept Christ as their Savior, they are a part of that chosen generation.
Amen.
So though we can't trace our lineage right back to Abraham or to Isaac or Jacob or...
Not bloodline, no, but spiritually, yes.
Absolutely.
That is where we're from.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Is. Yeah. And
all of that came through Jesus Christ.
You are correct. Yes,
so
sir.
That's the way we are, a chosen generation. And folks, I remember when I was a kid and I got they would choose me for the ball team. Boy, that was a good feeling to get chosen if you played pretty good ball or whatever, and you got chosen if you wound up being the last one and somebody said, well, y'all take him.
I was at that bottom of that list sometimes.
I was there oftentimes myself. Oftentimes I was one.
But at least somebody wanted me.
Yeah.
Well, sort of. But anyway.
Anyhow, somebody had to take me. So. And really, when you look at this thing about being a special priest and a chosen generation, nobody but Jesus would have wanted me when I go back and sum up my life and look at it and evaluate my life. But he did. And I want you to know he wants you too, you that are listening to us. You may think that he wouldn't have anything to do, but you have been chosen to receive his grace.
That's right.
His grace. It says, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him. And it's not his will that you perish. It's not willing that anybody, no matter who they are, you have been chosen.
Yes.
You've been chosen to receive the greatest gift of all. I saw the other day where a kid down in Florida had won, I believe it was $20 million in some kind of lottery. Well, I'm never going to have that, but I tell you what, I'd rather have Jesus. And I have been blessed, and you have too if you're a Christian. We're a royal priesthood.
That's right.
Royal. We're royalty. And we're a holy nation.
Mm-hmm.
We're a holy nation. So folks, listen. I'm so glad that I am a priest of Jesus Christ. I'm a priest of God. I've been chosen to represent him. And it's a great blessing to do that. I know these guys would say the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Around the table. We have been chosen and we have been blessed to be a representative of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a great joy to teach you the truths from the Word of God. And you remember that God chose you before the foundation of the world to love you and to pay the price of your sin at Calvary. Join us next week right here on the radio.